Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Opa, Shawnee. Teach me to dance.
Opa.
The last time that I danced Greek with Shawnee, and yes, I have.
Don't even start.
Yes.
No,
yes,
don't
I have.
Go there.
A lot of hosts. You don't see a Bob Kessler dancing Greek with John Williams on this show. We dance on this show.
I was on with Lou yesterday,
and
he and his family ate at a place called Kukla's.
I was about to talk about that.
We were.
I was there last night.
You were there last night. Funny you should mention that.
Yeah, but I'd love
he loved it. He said it was wonderful.
Let me get off the track here. We've got two Greeks on the show today.
Shawnee's outnumbered.
That never happens.
It's outnumbered by the Greeks.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you were there at Kukla's, were you?
Normally, if we have more than one Greek on the show, we also have to have a goat on the show. So, I forgot to bring my goat with me today. I left my goat at home again. Darn it. It's a pleasure, Charlie, to have you on the show here with us today.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. We need more Greeks on WGN.
Yeah.
And someone I know that likes to cook could bring in some food more often.
Last time I danced Greek with Shawnee, it resulted in some embarrassing photos.
They're under extreme surveillance.
These photos are more guarded than the Epstein files. They are more redacted. And, Charlie, I've instructed Shawnee that if anything ever happens to me, before he calls the paramedics, before we, a doctor, anything, he goes to my house and gets those pictures because we don't want those getting out in public.
Priorities.
And it all started in Greektown.
A long time ago. Wow. It really is a long time ago.
But they are juicy, though. Tell you that much.
Oh my.
Yeah, so this Kukla's restaurant, this is the new restaurant from Jimmy Banos Sr. And Jimmy Banos Jr. Jimmy Banos Sr. of Heaven on 7 fame, the famous New Orleans and Cajun style restaurant. Very timely because Mardi Gras is already. I can't believe it's this early. But Jimmy ran Heaven on 7 forever. Jimmy Sr. ran Heaven on 7. Then his son, who grew up in the restaurant business, Charlie, imagine that, a Greek in the restaurant business.
How about that?
It's almost unheard of.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that. Jimmy Jr. Opened up his famous restaurant. His name is escaping me right now. Purple Pig, is that right?
Purple Pig, yeah.
Yeah, Purple Pig.
On Michigan.
Right on Michigan Avenue.
I miss Heaven on 7, though.
Jimmy Jr. won a James Beard Award, the Oscars of the culinary world, for Purple Pig. And now Senior and Junior have opened up a restaurant together, a Greek restaurant in Niles called Kukla's. And holy smokes, it's spectacular.
What did you have?
Not my first time there. I was there right after they opened, just days after they opened, and it was really good. Last night, now they feel like they've worked some bugs out, which I didn't really feel that there were any in the first place. But the food was just spectacular last night. It's like modern Greek cuisine. I wouldn't call it traditional. It's a lot of traditional Greek things that he puts his James Beard Award-winning spin on, and it was just amazing. We had many things at our table. We ordered a bunch of things and shared it. The lamb chops were some of the best I've ever had in my life. I had grilled octopus. You like grilled octopus, Shawn?
I do. You bet I do.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
you do.
Sir.
Of course you do. You love anything with tentacles, don't you? Shawnee is a known tentacle lover. Everyone knows that.
Just move on, okay?
We had some grilled oysters.
Oh.
With some spectacular Greek cheeses. Mizithra cheese, cavolotteri cheese, breadcrumbs. Oh, gosh, those were great.
Did you get the flaming cheese?
Did not get the flaming
Saganaki.
Cheese. Did not get the flaming
Saganaki,
cheese.
Yeah. That's the best.
But I had they have a dish on their menu, on their appetizer menu, mussels Saganaki. So it's mussels. They don't set it on fire. But it's mussels that are cooked in like a tomato feta sauce, and they bring it to the table, you know, all the delicious mushrooms. But then you're left with all that beautiful sauce in the dish, and you take that grilled sourdough bread that they give you, and you dip it in the sauce. I wanted to figure out a way to live in that sauce.
Can we do the show from there?
Oh, it was so delicious.
My mouth is watering.
Those the mussels might have been my favorite things. And we had whipped feta dip. We had... what else? We had, they have a, like a winter village salad, which is a take on their village salad, except it's made with tomatoes that have been canned and stewed. So it's got a little bit of a dilled texture to it. Really good, with a huge chunk of feta cheese on it. Everything is like so good, so homemade, so from scratch. It is a major, major home run of Greek restaurants in Chicago. And it's in Niles. A professional broadcaster would have the address handy.
Yeah, they would.
7620 North Milwaukee.
See
a professional producer. There. A professional producer, Eli, would save his host. What was it again?
7620 North Milwaukee.
Yeah, there you go. Just north of Tui. Tui. Tui.
My grandparents live right over there. I was telling them about the restaurant this week, actually. I was telling them we have to stop by.
Oh, I'll stop by your grandfather's house the next time I go there.
I'll let
him know. I'm a nice house guest. It's called Kuklas. 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 Got it?
Do you know who it's named for? Or is it named for a family member, perhaps?
Kukla, Charlie, correct me. Maybe you know this better than I do, but I've always remembered Kukla as kind of like a little nickname for, you know, oh, my little Kukla, my little, you know, sweetheart. You'd say that to a little kid or something like that, right?
It's like a doll, beautiful doll, doll face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's a term of endearment nickname. So, Shawnee, like you would be this show's Kukla.
Like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you and I are the only one who knows what that means.
Yeah, and I barely remember. But yes, that's very true. So anyway, man, it was, you know, sometimes you have a meal and it's good and you enjoy it. And sometimes you have a meal and you cannot stop thinking about it.
Right.
I'm not sure that's healthy to be like fixated on a meal.
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Everything.
I mean, if you've had a memorable dining experience like that,
yeah
that will stay with you.
That was last night. Oh, here, the grilled, I'm looking at their menu now. Grilled oysters, garlic butter, mizithra cheese, gefalotteri cheese, both are kind of sharp cheeses with breadcrumbs on the grilled oysters.
Now, this was just appetizers?
Appetizers, yeah. A lot of their things are meant to be shared. You order, you share at the table. This winter village salad I was talking about, preserved green and red tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, kalamata olives, and feta.
Kalamata olives.
Right?
Mm.
Here's the food that... When I'm on death row, this is what I'm going to order for my last meal. And that could come any time, by the way. The mussel saganaki.
When I'm on death row.
Yes, Warden, I'd like mussel saganaki, please. Cherry tomato sauce. So the tomato sauce is made fresh from cherry tomatoes, so you know it's like extra delicious. Ouzo, fennel, feta cheese, and mint. How about that? I know Shawnee likes his ouzo. That I remember from many years. Shawnee can push it back. As I said, the lamb chops were amazing. The octopus, everything. And it seems like a simple thing. When you go there, order the Greek potatoes. Charlie, you've had Greek potatoes a million times, I imagine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not like this. I don't know what they do to them. They are super extra delicious. So there you go.
I'm thinking we got to do a live show from there.
That's what
I like Shawnee's idea.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. They're going to let you back in, right, Dean?
Oh, you kidding me?
Okay.
They love me there. I broke a few dishes. I set a few things on fire. I was going around kissing everybody. Is that bad in a restaurant? Is that not good to do in a restaurant?
Yes, right. It was the old routine. Look at me.
Dino.
Oh, you know who I am.
Oh, Dino, come and kiss me. Did anyone yell Opa when you were there, asks the 847 area code. Actually, yes, they did, because the table next to me did order
the Flaming Saganaki.
The Flaming Saganaki. And when they set it on fire, of course, they yell Opa. Yeah, of course they did. Oh, 773 air code. What restaurant is Dean talking about? I just tuned in. It's Kukla's restaurant.
Kukla's in North Milwaukee.
Brand new Greek restaurant in Niles. Eli, what's the exact address again?
7620 North Milwaukee.
7620 North Milwaukee Avenue. How do you spell the name of the restaurant on our text line? Kouklas. Kouklas. That's what I'm going to start calling you on this show, Shawnee.
Kouklas? And now you call me everything else.
And now with the latest news, here's Kouklas. Kouklas Shawnee. So there you go.
Let's arrange to do the show there.
All right. I know the Banoses would love to have us there.
I miss Heaven on 7.
I do too.
Yeah.
I asked him. I said, it's got to be weird. I asked Jimmy Bano Sr., who ran Heaven on 7 forever, do you miss not having the gumbo right now?
The gumbo.
This is gumbo season right now, right?
Yeah.
Right? Right before Mardi Gras. And he said he actually might serve some gumbo in his in his Greek restaurant. I would love that. He made the best gumbo. Had made the best gumbo. He was great and was suggesting things. We had I forgot some fantastic desserts. They make this orange cake. It's a cake that's orange.
I can picture it already.
What a description.
You can practically taste it right now just with my description, right? It's a little complicated to describe how you make it, but you take the phyllo leaves. Shawnee, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm,
the phyllo
mm-hmm.
leaves. You're my barometer for what Americans might understand on this show. The phyllo leaves, and you crunch them up, and you make it with orange and orange zest and orange
juice. I was going to say, an orange zest has to be involved with this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's just incredibly delicious. We had that. What else did we have? Shawnee, you've probably had lokoumades. Which is it's a fried dough with like honey.
I didn't know the name, but I have had that. Yes.
Yeah. Right. They have that. Most restaurants do not have that. They had fresh strawberry shortcake last night. I know that doesn't sound Greek, and it's really I guess it's not, but oh man, was it good! Like with fresh whipped cream, fresh strawberries, fresh. It was great. Do you get the sense I had a great meal last night?
I do indeed, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I may only talk about this for the entire program today. this is cute. Look at this. The 847 area code. My aunt used to call me Kukla. Yeah, see? It's like a term of endearment.
Yes.
So, Shawnee, when I call
you're going to call me that?
So when Kukla has the far-flung forecast in a few minutes, we'll get to that right after the news. How about this amazing weather, right?
Doesn't, oh.
Doesn't it feel like summertime?
Such a relief.
Yeah, just with this, nice warm weather, nice sunshine.
Such a relief.
Can't beat it out there. Pretty, pretty nice. But is it as nice, ladies and gentlemen, as the award-winning far-flung forecast? It's presented to you each week at this time. Fascinating facts about places around this great land of ours. Here now with the latest is Kukla Schwani.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. And on this Valentine's weekend, since Valentine's Day was yesterday, we're going to a town in Arkansas named Romance, Arkansas. Romance, Arkansas.
Yes.
Founded in the 1880s by a gentleman who worked and lived in the area there and thought that the distant view of the hills and the mountains were romantic. Therefore, the name Romance stuck. Now, this also is significant with the U.S. Postal Service because it's several within the postal system that has attention because of love-themed names. There are several towns in the country named Valentine, but this has Romance. And in 1990, it was the first location to issue the stamp in the USPS Love Stamp series.
Isn't that nice?
And they also have a side venture.
Is there anything more romantic than licking the back of a stamp?
Well, you can't do that anymore, really. They're all adhesive.
You don't mind getting it stuck to your tongue.
But as a matter of fact, because of the name of the town, there have been some weddings performed on the grounds of the post office there. And all 1,772 residents say they love living in Romance. Do you see what I did there?
I got you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Made sure you followed me there.
You are the clever wordsmith.
Cloudy in Romance, Arkansas
you're
today.
You're the Robert Frost of radio.
Two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the road less traveled. Romance, Arkansas, cloudy and 53 today.
What have you been drinking? What's in your coffee today?
Hot chocolate.
Yeah, I'll say.
No ouzo, hot chocolate.
Let's get him an ouzo right away. All right, let's get things going here at 9:40. Time for the Weekend Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Santina Wheat. Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Delner Hospital, joining us. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Very well. Sad news this week in the death of actor James Vanderbeek of Dawson's Creek fame, Varsity Blues, so many great movies and TV shows, dying at only 48 years old of colorectal cancer, a fight that he has been in for the past couple of years. I mean, this really emphasizes the need for colonoscopy, correct?
It absolutely does. And I know that many people don't realize this, but a few years ago, we went from recommending screening at the age of 50 to the age of 45, especially as we've been seeing more and more people at younger ages have colon cancer.
Yeah, that's something that I've been reading since the death. There have been quite a few articles and things about colorectal cancer. And as you've been saying, an alarming rate of younger people under 50 years old who are developing symptoms. I should mention actor Chadwick Boseman of Black Panther fame and so many other fantastic movies, only 43 years old when he was diagnosed with colorectal cancer and died a little bit young. Do we have any idea why this seems to be affecting people of younger ages?
I don't think we have an exact answer, but we do think that there's a fair amount that's going on. Some of it is genetic. We do know that people who have colorectal cancer in their families are more likely to have it, so we actually recommend that they get screening earlier. There's certain bowel diseases that also cause it. But there also is some concern that it has to do with our diets, that people that are eating very red meat heavy diets, very processed heavy or very processed food heavy diets also are at higher risk for colorectal cancer. And then anyone who drinks heavily or smokes heavily also increases their risk.
Does it have anything to do with the amount of roughage, with the amount of vegetables that you would think would be beneficial in a fight against colorectal cancer?
You know, it's hard to say. I do think that since we know that having overprocessed foods and too much heavy certain types of meats can increase the risk, then yes, it makes sense that the opposite could be true, that by having more fruits and vegetables, having good fiber, having things move through can be helpful. And so always helpful to eat as many fresh things as possible, and this is one of those benefits.
Yeah, fruit, vegetables, whole grains, right? I mean, those exactly. those are the things exactly. that should be included. And you're not saying no meat, but you're saying maybe less of it and certainly less processed and refined foods.
Exactly. I will never say none, but definitely thinking about moderation and trying to have balance is generally the key for prevention of a lot of things.
Okay. So let's talk about symptoms. This was a two-year fight for James Vanderbeek, something that he noticed early on, went and got checked, and it was the worst result possible. But what should people be looking for? And we're going to talk about this, not in overly gross terms, but we're going to be, you know, talking about this in a direct way. So if you're offended, you may want to, you know, step away for a second. What are the symptoms of colorectal cancer?
And I really appreciate you said that, because many people don't like talking about their bowel habits, and we need you to when you come to the doctor, because those are the symptoms we're looking for. Often an alarming one is blood in your stool. That is one we always want you to get checked out. And then just changes to it. Sometimes it's that your stool becomes very thin. Sometimes it's that your stool is very loose and you have diarrhea that's not stopping. But anything that's really a persistent change in your bowel habits that is not intentional, it's not because you're increasing your fiber, for example, that goes on for more than a week, is definitely worth getting checked out. Other general things that are risks, if you lose weight without knowing why, if you become anemic and we don't have a source for that, if we don't see a reason for bleeding, those are also sometimes symptoms and reasons why we would want to get a colonoscopy, even if you're not due for that screening colonoscopy.
Yeah, and I had always heard that, and again, you know, Frank talked about this, but blood in a stool or the changing of the color of the stool, right, mm-hmm. could also be a sign, correct?
Absolutely. The blood is probably the most common reason why I send someone to get further testing. And sometimes it can be something that's not cancer, but it's always better to be sure that we know what's going on.
So, you know, people are so scared of colonoscopies. You know, it's not something I look forward to when I've had them, but it's not that bad, really. You know, it's the preparation, which is tedious, but it's not painful. It's not, you have to change your diet for a half a day and you clean yourself out a little bit. It's not the end of the world. And the procedure itself is not painful at all.
And the great thing about this procedure, the reason why it's the one that's the most recommended, is because as you have this procedure, they're able to see if there's anything. They're really looking for pre-cancer. They're hoping to find anything before they get there. And if the gastroenterologist see anything, they can actually take it out at that time. So it's not only screening for it, but it's the first step of treatment as well for prevention. And so it's really looking at this as a two-in-one.
So what do they do when they find things? What's happening during the procedure itself?
So what will usually happen is they will take what we call a biopsy. So they will take what they're usually looking for is something called a polyp. It's like a little growth on in the inside of your colon, and they will take that out, and they'll make sure that there's no bleeding from that. They're also just looking for any other causes of bleeding. So maybe it's hemorrhoids, maybe it's just some sort of inflammation, and they'll be able to see if there's anything that they're concerned about. And if they do take those biopsies, then they send them off to the pathologists who are able to see, is this a precancerous lesion? Is this a cancerous lesion? Or is this something that was nothing to worry about? And so they're really just able to have a good understanding of whether you need further treatment or not. And then based on that, make a recommendation of when you might need another colonoscopy.
Right. And during that procedure, I mean, if there are things that are irregular, I don't know if cauterization is exactly the exact term to use, but they fix things along the way that they see still, you know, and taking testing of things.
Right.
But just for routine procedures, they fix things along the way as long as they're in there, I guess, right?
Exactly. And so that's where they take those polyps out that could be causing bleeding or could be causing trouble. And then the cautery is right. They make sure that there's no bleeding that's coming from it. It stops any of that. And usually that's what they do. That's what they see.
Yeah. So if they do find a cancer, is surgery the only solution to that?
You know, it really depends on what stage it is when they find it. Sometimes it's surgery. Sometimes there's radiation or chemotherapy. It really depends on if there's a cancer, if it has moved to another part of your body, if it's metastasized. And it depends on also if there is a cancer, how large it is, whether they're able to take it out or not.
Is it?
And so it just depends.
Yeah. Is it usually curable or? You know, what are the percentages if they should find something?
Again, it really depends on how early. So sometimes they find something that is a cancerous lesion and they're able to take the whole thing out and you're done. You don't need anything else. And so that right there is them curing it. And you might have an early review again to make sure nothing's come back. But that's really the best case scenario when they find a cancer. Sometimes it's a little bit further along than that, and people can have good outcomes if they're finding it early. If it's metastasized, the outcomes are not quite as great. And so it's hard to give a percentage because it really depends on how long the symptoms have been going on, how far it's been there.
The stage at which it's found, mm-hmm. which speaks to exactly. the early detection on this of getting the colonoscopy and, you know, getting it checked. So if there is something there that you find it early and that can be treated more easily, is colorectal cancer hereditary?
Yes, it can be. There are some people that have a genetic predisposition for it. Sometimes it's because of certain diseases like inflammatory bowel disease. They're more likely to have it. There's some people that have genetic diseases that are lots of polyps in their colon, and so they are at higher risk for colon cancer. And if someone in your family has colon cancer, then we generally recommend that you get screening 10 years before whatever age they were diagnosed. And so I said earlier that we recommend screening at 45, but if there's someone who was diagnosed at 45 in your family, then we recommend that you get screening at about 35. So that we're making sure we find it before it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's the early detection is, you know, with all cancers, but you know, this is all about finding it early. And mm-hmm. you know, people are like, "Ooh, I don't want a colonoscopy." It's not that bad. It's a slight inconvenience, and believe me, you'll never have a better sleep than when they dose you out or whatever they call it, hazing you or. Get it checked. All right. So thank you for tolerating our very frank talk about this. But I think the doctor and I both agree that it's pretty important. Let me take a quick break. When I come back, I want to ask you about the measles outbreak. It seems like it's getting worse. We'll continue in a moment. Dr. Santina Wheat is with us. Dr. Santina Wheat. McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital with us this morning. Recent outbreaks of measles have been very alarming over the last year or so. The fastest growing outbreak I've read is in South Carolina. They now have the largest in the U.S. since measles were declared eliminated more than 2 years ago. Last year was a record-breaking year. 2026 is on its way to looking like it could be as well. Doctor, what's the latest in the measles outbreak?
You know, it is just what you said. South Carolina is where we are seeing the most of this, and it doesn't look like it's slowing down, unfortunately, anytime soon. And measles is something that many of us had hoped to not ever see because we have vaccines for it. So many families don't know what the measles look like necessarily. They don't know what to expect. They're not scared of this disease. But unfortunately, this is a disease that can really have some serious complications. It can cause hearing loss. It can cause very bad pneumonias and even death, unfortunately. And so this is a time where we have to be really cautious for our children.
Yeah, we've said this before, but let's repeat. What are symptoms that you might have been exposed to measles?
So the problem with measles is it starts off just like any other cold. It really looks like runny nose, sneezing potentially to begin with, as you think of as a typical cold. Usually within 4 to 5 days, though, you start having a fairly characteristic rash that can cover the entire body, and the eyes get fairly red as well. And that is a sign that you definitely want to isolate in your home and contact the public health department so that we can get testing.
Yeah, get to your doctor right away. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Hope you have a great Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you very much.
Thanks. You too. Have a great week.
You mentioned tomorrow is President's Day.
Yes.
The day where we honor all presidents tomorrow. Correct?
Yes, correct? That's right. It's actually a combination. It started out to combine Washington's birthday, which is the 22nd, and then Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Right.
But yes, all presidents are honored.
I used to like when we get the two holidays when we were in school.
And we never got both of them.
You got Lincoln's birthday?
Lincoln's, but not Washington's.
Oh, I seem to remember. We got both. Maybe I'm wrong. I spent so much time in the hallway, really, I lost track of time.
Well, weren't you at George Washington's final address for the...
Did he wear a dress?
Didn't say that. A dress.
Who's your favorite president?
Mine?
Yeah.
I really have to think it's Abraham Lincoln.
Charlie, do you have a favorite president?
Oh, man, I'm the last person to ask on something like this. I'm so disconnected from that world that... I do not. How about you?
Any president who's been in a hockey game?
I'm going to have to dig in on this one.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Do the presidents go to the Stanley Cup Finals? They're always at the World Series. They're always...
World Series, the Super Bowl.
I don't remember any presidents ever at any hockey games.
I can't think of them. I'm trying to think of a Game 7 that was epic, maybe in history. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Eli, favorite president?
I've always been a big fan of Franklin Pierce. Been a big fan of his game.
Franklin
Pierce. Martin Van Buren's up there.
Nice. I am. I was a fan of Millard Fillmore. because forever they said that he was the president that installed the first bathtub in the White House, and I thought that's a man with vision. But it turns out that was a hoax. That was not.
I think it was Taft that did it.
Taft got
William Howard Taft.
Well, let me tell you about the history of plumbing in the White House.
Like, you know all about it.
Well, I got Google, so that's good enough. The first form of plumbing in the White House was installed by John Quincy Adams.
That far back?
That first plumbing. The first bathing room, as it was called, Andrew Jackson, 1833.
Wow.
The first real bathtub, an iron bathtub, was installed in 1851, and it was there until the 1880s. But the President Taft bathtub story that you guys are talking about, he is noted because he was a rather rotund man.
He was our, I think, our largest president.
He was our fattest president. Let's just call it the way it is. 300 plus pounds, according to, what the books say. And he installed a 7-foot-long porcelain bathtub in the White House to accommodate his rather rotund frame. So there. And this is why this show has won so many Peabody Awards. We are so,
absolutely,
so educational in so many ways here. Yeah, love is still in the air. Valentine's weekend. Did you happen to stop into a grocery store yesterday? Shawnee, as you know, my usual routine is early Saturday morning. I go to the grocery store because there's nobody's ever there. It's really quiet and I get my shopping done. Everybody was there yesterday morning.
Yeah.
In the floral sections.
And all you saw was the flowers, the cookies, the candy, the...
looked like a funeral home when I walked into the Jewel. It looked like a funeral home. Beautiful flowers everywhere. And roses were fairly cheap this year, too, I noticed. Like $20 for a dozen roses?
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
No.
I remember back in the day spending like $70... $70-$80 for roses. So I'm glad you can get by on the cheap now.
Mm-hmm.
To say I love you. and there was some buy one get one free candy. So you could save some money and get a box of chocolates for yourself.
Oh, you're always looking for the bargain.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I hope what did you mention something that for Valentine's weekend is going on? Didn't you have a story last hour?
Last hour, the Valentine was the far-flung forecast, Romance, Arkansas.
Yeah, maybe.
I had just President's Day, really. I didn't really have anything for Valentine's Day, necessarily.
You should start paying more attention to
the show.
I hear this is a good show. Should start listening to it.
Pay attention to the people that text in that actually listen.
You know what? Well, we've gotten some very nice texts.
We always do.
We always get some very, very, very nice texts. I'm beside myself. You know, people are so kind. They, enjoy the show. They share their thoughts with us. Which brings me to an email that I got this week from our production department. They wanted me to record some promotional announcements for this show. And they sent me a script of things they wanted me to record. So naturally, being the obedient employee that I am, team member that I am, I was more than happy to do that. So, what are you moaning and groaning about?
I'm just reacting. That's all.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, here's one for example. Hi, I'm Dean Richards. Smart conversations, great guests. That's a Sunday morning worth getting up for.
You could add a word to smart conversations that we can't.
Three letter word.
It's something like that.
Three letter word.
I'll just leave it at that.
That would be more in keeping with the character of the show, right? Right. It would. Here's another one. Hi, I'm Dean Richards. You don't need another loud opinion. You need the right opinion. that doesn't sound like this show, does it?
Sounds like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to think that I've got the right opinion. Just, I have my own opinion sometimes and you have your opinion and all opinions are fine. But I agree with the loud part. There's too much screaming on TV and radio on Sunday morning. I think that's one of the reasons people like this show. We don't do too much screaming and yelling.
No, we don't, actually.
No, we don't. We have fun.
We right? have fun. Right? That's the premise, yes.
Here's another.
We have fun with this.
Hi, this is Dean Richards. It's Sunday morning. We've got smart guests, sharp takes, and a little attitude.
A little attitude?
That's a little more in the
A
line.
Little?
That's a little. So here's what I'm thinking. What if we had our listeners call us up on the phone lines and they tell us what, we'll record you and you tell us, you know, what this show is to you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call. Tell us why you listen to this show. Then we'll record it and it'll wind up being these promotional announcements.
I think that's brilliant.
Getting some testimony?
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, some testimony. Exactly. Exactly. And not a terrible way. And, you know, it would be great if every single person trashed us on the phone. How funny would that be? Hey, I think you're a jerk. We'd put that on the air. I would put that on the air. I think that would
Listen
be...
Listen to that show!
Okay, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to be on our promos, on the promotional announcements... for this show. Here's another one they sent me. Hi, I'm Dean Richards. Before church, before brunch, spend your Sunday morning with the most entertaining part of the weekend. Is that us?
I'm trying to come up with a music bed that would go underneath these. You know.
What song would?
What song, what instrumental thing that would be kind of, you know, upbeat and pleasant?
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
The theme song from Password.
Da, 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 da. Is that it?
No, it was dun 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 dun. They're real bright and happy and cheery.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm going way back now to the Alan Ludden days.
Charlie, do you even know what Password was?
Mm-mm. Or the theme from To Tell the Truth.
Eli, do you have any idea what To Tell the Truth was?
In the words of George Washington, I cannot tell a lie. No.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
Sorry, I was on the phone. We have a great promo line coming in line one.
All right. Wonderful.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Dean and crew. My promo is...
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Because I got to tell you that we are recording. That we are legally required to tell you that. And go for it.
Hi, this is Tom from Dixon, Illinois. I listen to Dean Richards and crew on Sunday mornings when I'm hungover so I don't have to think.
We are off to a great start.
That's a great promo.
Thanks.
So, how about, Swanee, how many people you think listen to this show completely hungover?
Well, given that it's Sunday morning.
I think this show's a little easier to take if you got a really bad hangover.
That's right.
That was a great one. Thank you, Tom.
I know from my end...
You're welcome.
It's easier to do the show when I'm really hungover than not. Love it, Tom. Thank you, pal.
You're welcome. I do love your show and your crew. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so we're trying to do some promotional announcements for the show with real-life testimonials from you, the listening audience. And, Norm, you are on next, and we are recording. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I listen to news. If I could listen to it 24 hours a day, I would. It's refreshing on Sunday mornings to just listen to a couple nice guys talk about Chicagoland issues. I appreciate your work, guys.
Oh, Swanee.
Wow.
That's nice.
Oh, two in a row. This is beautiful.
Norm, thank you, pal. That's very nice
of
you.
All right, buddy. All right, have a great day.
All right, you do the same. I'd like to know which two guys he's talking about, but either way. Hello, Dave. You're on WGN.
Hey, Dean, how are you? Longtime fan, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we are now recording. This is Dave doing our work with hey, promotional announcements.
Dean, before I do that, I got to ask you, what was the first year you did Dance for Life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I did Dance for Life. Let me see. I did it from the very beginning at the old Organic Theater.
I know. I was there.
Were you there? I want to say I want to say about 91, maybe.
Yeah. So
that's
I've been
right?
listening to you for a long time. Friend.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Let me know when we're recording.
And we are recording. Go ahead.
This is Dave from the South Side, home of the Pope. And I just want to say Dean Richards and company is fun and folly for the vintage generation. I love you guys.
For the vintage generation. For the vintage generation.
That's right.
Read between the lines, fellas. Yeah. For the geezers.
Let me get my bifocals on so I can fully read that. Thanks,
love
Dave.
You guys.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Hello there, Kate. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. This is my promo. I'm Kate from Chicago.
And we're rolling.
Listening to Dean and Friends is like having friends friends drop over for coffee and Danish in my kitchen every Sunday morning. And I really mean that. That's how it feels to me. I enjoy your show every Sunday.
Aren't you nice?
It's true.
Wow.
I mean, you guys are a riot, but that's what it means to... I think, you know, most everybody who listens to you.
I could go for a Danish right now, too, Bob.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Nice warm Danish and nice cup of coffee. That
there you go.
Swanee, we're going to put you in charge of baking on the show from now on. Is that all right?
I'll tell you who would have been wonderful at it would have been my mother.
Oh.
What a great baker.
Our moms are such good cooks.
Oh. Right? Mom was a great cook, but a baker,
the baker,
cakes and pies and thing,
right?
Cookies. Oh,
yeah,
just superb.
Yeah, we were lucky. Hey, Kate, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You take care.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Very, very sweet of her. Anna, hello, you're on WGN, or is it, do you say Anna?
Anna, please.
Anna, okay. Anna like banana, okay.
Yeah.
Hello, you're
so
on.
My promo is to listen to Dean and the Gang on Sunday mornings to hear a couple of grown-up knuckleheads muse about the news in Chicago.
Listen to that. The phraseology, muse about the news. That's beautiful.
I was more focused on the knucklehead part.
Well, that too.
I mean that in the best possible way.
That's the only way I took it.
Excellent.
Anna, thank you very much. Very nice of you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day today. Jonathan, hello. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning. Hello. I'm calling in from across the Cheddar Curtain in Lake Geneva. I've got a car wash and my sunroof open, so it's time for spring. I'm ready.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
All right. So here's my promo. If you ever feel like your IQ is running a little too high, tune in to Dean Richards on WGN Sunday mornings.
We do make you feel better about yourself, don't you?
I do. You know, my head gets bigger and bigger every time I listen to it. I really appreciate that.
Well, we're glad that we make you feel better about yourself.
Yes.
If we can provide
yes.
that
Until
service.
Until I get home, my wife cuts me back to normal.
Okay,
so
she brings
your... to tune into you again.
Right.
It's a cycle I go through.
Right back down to earth again. I understand.
That's right.
John, thank you very much for the call. I love that. Dave, hello, you're on WGN.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, what's
this
up?
This is Dave from Addison.
Nice to have you with us.
I got a promo.
Yeah, go ahead.
If, sorry, hearing the echo.
That's okay. We can hear you. Okay, go ahead.
I have no idea why I listen to these knuckleheads on Sunday morning. Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Oh yeah, we're like a Mounds bar, aren't we? Or an Almond Joy. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't.
I love that.
That's very intriguing. Sometimes I don't know why I'm listening.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know why I'm listening either.
I got no idea.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. And have a great Sunday today. Alberto, you're on WGN. Hello.
I listen to you every day. When I get up in the morning, WGN is the only station I listen to. You aren't political. You make me feel happy. And to me, I just like you all. I think you're all great.
Aren't you nice? Thank you so much.
No, I mean it. And I tell everybody, if you want to listen, feel happy and be happy to be American, turn on WGN.
Shawnee, you see that? We make people feel good about being American.
Right. I'm tired of people complaining and saying bad things.
We offer the
alternative. That's a very good point. Thank you very much.
We purposely stay away from all that around here. It's just so people can take a breather for a few hours. Yeah.
I'm 95.
Oh my gosh!
I always listen to you first thing in the morning. All day I have WGN, no matter what I'm doing.
Alberto, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Hey, I have to thank you for something.
You do?
I do.
You mean you're going to be nice?
I'm going to thank you because you are the one that pointed out to me that we had a Chicago connection.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bad Bunny halftime show last week.
Yes.
The section of the show that featured some classical violinists, string players.
Yep.
And was being conducted by, you know, a real-life conductor. Was the Chicago conductor Giancarlo Guerrero,
yes,
who is the artistic director and principal conductor of the Grant Park Music Festival.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I pointed it out on the air. We made a connection with him. We had a nice interview with him. I was going to play.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked to him on TV.
Oh, fantastic.
We did a Zoom call with him, and he could not have been more
delightful. Oh, he loves Chicago. He is in love with this city.
If we have time, we'll try to squeeze that in today. But we have an abbreviated show today. But I want to thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't have noticed.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, I was watching the halftime show, and as that camera was making that slow pan across, you know, and the players were there.
Yeah.
There he is conducting. I looked and I said, "It can't be."
Wait a minute.
It can't be.
That's Maestro Guerrero.
That's Giancarlo Guerrero. And then what I did was check the Grant Park Orchestra website. Sure enough, they had a wonderful link about it. Yeah. And I imagine he mentioned in your interview that his wife and his daughter are big fans of Bad Bunny.
Well, he mentioned his daughters. He said his daughters are huge fans. And Bad Bunny was looking for a conductor to be part of this little segment. He wanted a real-life conductor. He wanted somebody who was of Hispanic descent.
Yes.
To be part of it, and reached out to him.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, he said he would do it. Otherwise, he said his daughters would never talk to him again.
He is from Costa Rica and just finished his first full season here. And then conducts the regular season this time of year in Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah, he said he'll be back at the Pritzker Pavilion conducting the orchestra sometime in June. So we'll look forward to that.
I'm glad you got a hold of him.
Yeah, but in the meantime, look at this. Look at this, Dave Schwann, with the extra good information. Appreciated that.
Absolutely.
When we come back, the star of the new show out at the Paramount Theater, Dear Evan Hansen, next. All right, 10:40 is the time. Talking about Dear Evan Hansen at the Paramount. You can win tickets to join me to go and see it. WGNradio.com/contests. We've got something special for you today. The star and director of Dear Evan Hansen, making its Chicago regional premiere out at the gorgeous Paramount Theater in Aurora, Dear Evan Hansen, a six-time Tony Award winner, including Best Musical that year, Best Book, Best Original Score, Grammy winner for Best Musical Theater Album, won all kinds of awards for songs like this. One of the signature songs from the show, You Will Be Found, in this show, led by Cody Combs, who makes his Paramount and Chicago Theater debut. Jessica Fish is the director of the show, also making her Paramount debut. Cody and Jessica, welcome to WGN. So nice to have you with us.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much for being there. Cody, are you there with us as well?
Yes, I am. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you both here with us. The big official opening night was the other night. How did things go?
Cody, how did it feel?
Oh, my God. It felt incredible. It was the coolest experience I think I've ever experienced.
Dean, your listeners need to understand that this is Cody's professional debut, and he is... Cody, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes. what an amazing accomplishment for you, Cody, to...
Thank you.
You know, to be so young, to be starring in this particular show, in this particular theater, it got to be amazing. When you walk out on that stage in this big, beautiful... gorgeous theater. I mean, does that like supercharge your performance, Cody?
It absolutely does. I can't think of anything that has ever felt even remotely similar to the feeling that I feel when I walk on that stage. It's unlike anything else. It's magical.
Yeah. And Jessica, this story is so moving and so poignant. Talk to us a little bit about the story about this high school kid, very well-meaning, tells a little white lie that just blows up into a blizzard beyond compare. Tell us, you know, how you interpret Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, Dean, I'm a mom to two kids. I've got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, so I don't have a kid in high school yet, but I think the thing that immediately drew me to the project was just, you know, trying to put myself into the mindset of you know, being a parent to a teenager in a world right now where, you know, the internet and social media means that, you know, as they navigate the difficulties of, like, coming of age and coming into their own, you know, a decision you could make in a split second could suddenly not only affect your immediate life, but could go off into the wider internet and cause, you know, repercussions that could potentially follow you for the rest of your life, and how, you know, we need to find ways to connect with the people around us and create safe spaces for our, you know, the kids in our own lives right now.
That's the thing that's so timely about this show is, you know, it speaks to the world that, young people are living in right now. Cody, could you relate to Evan in that sense, being a young man yourself and growing up in a world of technology that can sometimes be misinterpreted, go in a direction that you didn't anticipate that it might go in?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like every day you can open social media and see something familiar to how Dear Evan Hansen's speech spirals into something other than something much greater than he anticipated it to be. I very extremely relate to this part of the story, especially.
Yeah, I would think that a lot of people your age can really relate to this show because you just get, you know, a lot of your life is threaded into this digital world that is more and more taking over right now. And Jessica, I mean, that's part of the visual of this show as well, isn't it? And I wonder what kind of challenges you faced directing this show that is so reliant on the visual assist.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think is really unique about Dear Evan Hansen is the use of multimedia on stage. And that's something that, you know, it's certainly something I, as an artist, am very interested in. And I had an incredible team sort of in partnership with our video designer, Tony Churchill, and our scenic designer, Andrew Boyce, to sort of create a container that allowed the feeling of the internet to enter the production. We talk a lot about how, you know, everyone has a phone in their pocket. So how can we take what it feels like to be sort of scrolling on the internet, to be, you know, doing a scroll on Instagram, and how do we sort of extrapolate that into this beautiful multimedia immersive experience on stage. And so, you know, the cast of Dear Evan Hansen is actually very small. It's only eight characters, but the world is very big. I say it's more akin to sort of a modern opera in that way. And it's, you know, big spectacle and lots of really cool visuals.
Yeah, and it seems more and more relevant to me. I mean, when I first saw this show, I saw Ben Platt in it, for which he won a Grammy on Broadway. And it was very moving and very topical. But it seems even more relevant and even more topical today with the proliferation of AI. That it just seems to like drive this message home even more, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the play is almost 10 years old. It, you know, premiered on Broadway in 2016. So I guess, yes, 10 years old. And it, I think in that moment, it was sort of trying to capture what was happening on Facebook and the sort of dawn of Instagram, Twitter. And, you know, we've only doubled down on that as a society. And I think that it means that the internet moves on at a very fast pace and everyone has access to it in their pockets. And so I think it certainly is a story that feels like it feels very resonant today. And it's certainly an incredible lift for Cody to perform every night, as it was for Ben Platt. It's truly one of the great things of the American musical canon, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk more with Jessica Fish, the director of Dear Evan Hansen. And by the way, winner of the 2024 Jeff Award, director musical, and also Cody Combs, making his Paramount and theatrical Chicago debut as Evan Hansen in the show when we come right back. All right. Speaking of Dear Evan Hansen, the 6-time Tony Award-winning musical, let me share a little more about it. The story about when one small lie spirals out of control, a lonely, anxious teen is forced to face what it really means to belong and how far we'll go just to be seen. It is raw. It is honest. It's happening now. Dear Evan Hansen, playing through March 22nd at the Paramount Theater in beautiful downtown Aurora. And you can get more by purchasing your tickets in person for just $31 or going to ParamountAurora.com to get your tickets. ParamountAurora.com. Do it now before they're gone. This is such a fantastic show. I'm already recommending it, even though I haven't seen this production. I have no doubt, just based on the track record of the Paramount, that it is going to be something special. And Cody Combs, who plays Evan Hansen, Jessica Fish, the director, our text line is just full of comments of people who have already seen your show. 630 area code. I saw the production of Dear Evan Hansen at the Paramount Thursday night and was struck by the expressiveness on Cody's face. In addition to his excellent singing and acting, I think he can go all the way in showbiz, according to a listener. That's not so bad, is it, Cody?
I was unaware of this. That's a really awesome comment.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, you would really be awestruck if you were here to actually see the text line, because right now it's just full of positive comments. 847 area code. We saw Dear Evan Hansen last night. It was fantastic. Cody was phenomenal, beautiful voice, and his acting was amazing. Really believed him as Evan. Isn't that nice? It's nice to get some feedback like that.
It's so nice, especially because this show is so much fun for me despite the heavy topics. So it's really rewarding to hear that me just playing around provokes such feelings from people.
Yeah, and you know, you running around with the cast on your arm most of the night also.
yeah.
815 area code. I saw the show yesterday with my daughter and loved it even more than I expected. I love the music soundtrack. The cast is outstanding. Love the voices. Love the lighting. Love the staging. It was just incredible. Jessica, I hope that's the kind of feedback that you are also getting from the previews of the show and now that it's officially running.
Dean, I will tell you, you know, I've been in Chicago for 10 years working all around town, and to sit in amongst this audience and to hear the way they're responding to the play, it's a lot of laughter. I think people forget how funny this show is, but then, you know, just to hear the emotion coming out of people during this production, I mean, it means so much to me. And I will say I've directed a lot of artists in my life, and I really will say I'll put money on Cody Combs. I think that he is a incredible unicorn talent. I mean, when he walked into that audition room, we literally couldn't catch our breath.
That's not so bad to hear, is it, Cody, to start your Sunday morning? That's not so awful.
Yeah, I think I have my motivation for the week now. Thank you, Jess.
That's good, because he's got two shows today, Dean. He's got two shows
That's
today.
That's right. You're right. We better lay a few more compliments in there so we can get through both of the shows today.
Okay.
Cody, tell us a little about yourself. I know you're originally from Northern Kentucky, but tell us a little bit more about Cody Combs.
Yeah, I am a musical theater student at Northern Kentucky University. I took this semester off to do this role. This is one of my all-time favorite shows and my number one dream role. So this is an incredibly special opportunity. I found this opportunity on Playbill.com. I saw there was an open call for it, so I rallied up a few of my friends, and we drove up here and auditioned. And I guess as Jess was saying, they liked me a little bit, and one thing led to another, and now I'm here.
Was that a goal of yours to come to the Chicago area, you know, to work?
Actually, to be honest, I didn't anticipate this at all. I never really considered the Chicago area. I'm also very, I don't know much outside of the greater Cincinnati area, just because am relatively newer to this. So I'd only heard about New York. I didn't even know there was greater opportunities in Chicago. So this is like opening my eyes in every single way possible. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, let me brag a little bit by saying that there are lots of people and lots of publications, Jess, you already know this, that consider the Chicago theater scene as vibrant and more vibrant than the theater scene in New York or London, even. Have you ever heard that, Jessica?
I mean, that is what I was in New York for many years, came out to Chicago to get my master's in Northwestern and fell in love with the Chicago community, and I never left. I think it's the greatest theater city in the world.
Yeah. 630 area code. I saw Dear Evan Hansen, felt so true to me, but I'm curious if today's high schoolers find it as real. Jess, Cody, are you getting any feedback at all from today's high schoolers?
Well, I'll tell you that the teens mob Cody in the lobby every day after the show, so I think it's hitting.
Yeah. The texter says it seems like this would be great as a youth field trip followed by a discussion. Now, you know, there are some very adult themes in the show as well, so be aware of that. But it seems to me that this would be a fantastic group event for any kind of youth group followed by discussion, right?
I mean, we've had some field trips already come through in the week that we've been open, you know, really in previews. And I think that I would really encourage, you know, anybody to bring the sort of the younger artists in their life. I mean, I think that's how I certainly got exposed to theater, was being taken as a kid by my parents. And I think that, you know, whether it's a school group, a youth group, you know, or just a group of parents getting together with their kids, I think it would open up a lot of really amazing conversations. And we have a pretty young cast, and I kept saying to them, you better keep me honest and make sure that we're doing right by this and make sure that the technology feels valid. And Cody, I feel like we did a decent job.
I feel like we did too. I mean, to me at least, and maybe I'm biased because I'm on the stage, but everything that I think could have felt awkward has been diverted, because I think the way you guys approached the modern social media of it all, it really makes it feel real.
Yeah, these are all such important topics, you know, especially for young people. I think you're really missing an opportunity if you don't bring your young your teenagers and above to see this show and discuss what it is that you're seeing on the stage. It's Dear Evan Hansen. It is at the Paramount Theater in Aurora through March 22nd. You can get tickets at ParamountAurora.com or 630-896-6666. If you go to WGNRadio.com/contest, you can enter for an opportunity to win some tickets to join me to go and see it for our next Dean's Night Out. Cody Combs, Evan Hansen, thank you for joining us. Jessica Fish, really appreciate you both being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Dean. We'll see you at the theater.
So nice to have Charlie with us on the show today.
It is.
Doing a great job. How's it going for you, Charlie, so far?
Oh, not
from
not,
your perspective. Enjoying yourself?
Not too bad at all. I'm very much enjoying this.
What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying is Schwani?
I knew this was going to happen.
I'm going to say a 1. Schwani doesn't annoy me.
Oh, brother.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's only the first time.
No, it isn't. I've worked with Charlie before. Yeah.
Put about 40 more years under your belt and see how you feel.
Hey, by the way, in the last
45
hour...
45 years this
oh,
year.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. No wonder I lost all my hair. What were you saying, Charles?
I was going to say in the last hour, we were talking about presidents that might have a hockey background. Oh, so yeah. I looked this up. Gerald Ford played hockey in his youth. He had a temporary rink installed on the White House lawn.
Really?
So he could play. Yeah. How about that? So Gerald Ford.
Now, he was not known for his... didn't he fall down a lot, Schwani?
Well, he did a couple times, like, but, you know, he played football for the University of Michigan.
That I knew. I didn't know he was a hockey player, though.
I didn't either.
Somebody else texted, I said that you never see presidents at hockey games the way you often see presidents at major sporting events. And somebody texted that Vice President Mondale attended the famous 1980 Olympic game.
The big one between the U.S. and the then Soviet Union.
USSR, yeah. So I guess, you know, they do. They do stand up. And we got kind of a big day in sports today, don't we, with the we've got the Illinois-Indiana game coming up right after us at 11:45. But then the All-Star basketball game is tonight, right?
Yeah. Tip off at 4 o'clock, I believe.
Wow, that's early. Because it's on the East Coast? Is that why?
That's a great question. I think it might be because they don't want to compete with the primetime Olympics.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, they're in L.A. for the All-Star game this weekend. The All-Star games are in L.A., but NBC knows that they like to have that Olympic coverage in primetime does better numbers than what the All-Star game would bring. So everything's a little bit earlier for that, but it'll all still be there.
It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast.
Yeah. It was like that yesterday with the dunk competition and everything like that as well.
What are we expecting is going to happen today with the All-Star game? Anything?
They're changing the format every year. Just try to find something that sticks to get people to like watch and be interested in playing. This year they're doing like a United States versus World type of round-robin tournament. So they've split the U.S.-based All-Stars across two teams called Stars and Stripes. And they're going to do like a mini round-robin tournament against all the international players. So at least there's like their form of like... They're a form of the Olympics this week, where they get the international bragging rights in a way.
Yeah, okay.
Also looking forward to the Daytona 500 today, which starts in a couple hours.
That's exciting.
Big day for sports.
Yeah, I like that. Schwani, what's your take on all this sports action going on today?
Oh, I think it's fine.
Of course you do. Schwani, ask me what this is.
Hey, what is this?
It's nice, isn't it?
I think it's pretty neat, yeah.
It is traditional New Zealand tribal music. New Zealand tribal music. The group is called Enlightened Divine.
Very good.
Now, ask me why I'm playing this.
Now, why are you playing this, Steve?
Well, it's funny you should ask. We got a text this morning. We have the best listeners from all over the Chicago area in the Midwest.
Ever.
Around the country, we hear from people. Listen to this. Hey, Dean and Dave, listen to you every Sunday morning and love you both. I'm listening to you right now from Queenstown, New Zealand.
Wow.
I even listen while traveling. Signed, Southside Susan.
Thank you so much, Southside Susan.
Yeah, no kidding, from New Zealand. I would love to go there.
We should do the show from there.
Let's go. We'll make it a... Do they have kangaroos there?
Probably.
I'd like to go somewhere where there's kangaroos. I'm guessing because they have them in Australia.
They have them in Australia.
They probably have them in New Zealand, too, right? Or maybe we could rent a kangaroo.
Ride in the pocket of the kangaroo? Is that what you're thinking?
Isn't there a rent-a-kangaroo store there? Kangaroos are us? Isn't there something like that?
That was neat music, though. That was really cool. Yeah,
you know what it reminded me of? The Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Mm-hmm.
From South Africa that Paul Simon recorded.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Diamonds on the Soles of My Shoes. That's what it sounded like.
Yes.
Let me repeat in case you want to check it out later on. The group is called Enlightened Divine. That is traditional New Zealand tribal music.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Enlightened Divine.
Yeah. That's the motto of this show.
Enlightened and divine.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going through things this week, putting this show together. I know it's hard to believe that any sort of preparation goes into the show. But I was just looking through things and ran across some old files and audio of my interviews with the cast of The Producers when it world premiered here in Chicago over at the Cadillac Palace Theater. It was February 1st of the year 2001 that Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick starred as Max Bialystock and Leo Bloom in The Producers, based on the original movie with Zero Mostel and Gene Wilder. Mel Brooks put together a musical adaptation that went on to win the most Tony Awards ever, still to this day. 12 Tony Awards. It took in just in its first day of box office sales in New York, took in $3 million in one day. But it all started here in Chicago 25 years ago this month. Isn't that amazing to think that it took place so long ago? Seems like yesterday that we sat down with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane and also the great Mel Brooks. I was going to play all three interviews for you this morning, but we have an abbreviated show. But I do want to share my conversation that I had 25 years ago, can't believe it, with the great Mel Brooks and how hilarious he is. And in adapting this wonderful, wonderful movie, the original Producers movie, into this stage musical, hadn't opened yet, no one had seen it yet. But he talked about it with us. We'll get to that coming up next. All right, and speaking of WGN TV, this week I'll be talking with Oscar-nominated actor Jacob Elordi. He's one of the stars of this new movie that's out this week, Wuthering Heights. Morgan Neville is the director of Paul McCartney, Man on the Run, new documentary about Paul McCartney. And on my TV cooking segment on Wednesday, I'm going to be making Asian New Year chicken lettuce wraps for the Asian New Year. So tune in, WGN Morning News. We've got some good stuff coming up for you. Take a look at these five-star Google reviews for executive carpet cleaning. Everyone's saying what we have been saying about it on the radio station here, like Barbara, who posted a review. I honestly can't say enough great things about this company. They picked up our off-white area rug and runner right before Thanksgiving and returned them beautifully cleaned, ready for the holiday. Communication was excellent. I spoke to a real person right away. The pickup and drop-off crew was so kind and professional. It's clear this family-owned business truly cares about their customers. I've already told many of my friends and family about them and plan on using them again. That is a terrific review, Barbara. Thank you for that. And check out Executive Carpet Cleaning right now and get 15% off any cleaning, rugs, carpet, floors, upholstery. Call Kelly or Liz at 630-990-8600. 630-990-8600 or schedule online at WGNClean.com. Executive Carpet Cleaning, the best cleaning company in Chicago. Maybe the most signature scene from both the original movie, The Producers, and the stage musical that was adapted, that world premiered here in Chicago at the Cadillac Palace Theater February 2001. Before the show actually opened, we had the honor of sitting down with the cast, with the director, Susan Stroman, and, of course, the man behind it all, the great Mel Brooks. By the way, if you have not seen the Mel Brooks documentary, which is streaming, I think it's HBO that's running it, you have to watch this documentary. It's so great. But our conversation with Mel Brooks 25 years ago, previewing what now has become the most honored musical in the history of Broadway, with 12 Tony Awards, The Producers. Yeah, the great and legendary Mel Brooks. That was before the world premiere of The Producers at the Cadillac Palace Theater 25 years ago this month. I remember sitting in the lobby of the big old Cadillac Palace Theater talking to him. He was hilarious. And I can answer my the last question that I had, what's your next project? Because his next project, now at 99 years old, is the sequel to his 1987 cult classic, Spaceballs. Spaceballs 2 is supposed to be coming out in the year of 2027. And by the way, that documentary that you must see if you're a Mel Brooks fan, Mel Brooks, the 99-year-old man is what it's called, is a two-part documentary, and it is on HBO. Highly, highly recommend it. So we've got the Illinois-Indiana basketball game coming up in a few minutes. In the meantime, though, I wanted to get in the conversation that we had, thanks to Dave Schwann, with Giancarlo Guerrero, who is the artistic director, principal conductor for the Grant Park Music Festival. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. By the way, the endorsement of the Mel Brooks 99-year-old man, 10 out of 10.
Right?
It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
That docuseries, it's hilarious. It's touching. It's you learn so much in it. So I'm watching the Super Bowl game, you know, the halftime show, which I enjoyed, by the way.
I thought it was terrific.
I talked about it on TV. I thought it was terrific, too. And, you know, there's this little section with some young string players, classical string players, and a guy who is conducting them. And Schwani contacts me and says, that's a Chicago guy. He's the conductor from the Grant Park Music Festival at the Pritzker Pavilion. So we contacted Giancarlo Guerrero, and we talked to him on the TV morning show. And I'm going to share that conversation when we come right back, if that's all right with you.
I'd love it. Absolutely. I'm so glad you got a hold of him.
I don't do anything on the show unless Schwani approves.
You have been so delightful today.
Oh, shut up. So, Bad Bunny, it's a halftime show, was watched by 128 million people, more than those who actually watched the game itself. It certainly was more exciting than the game itself, that's for sure. And you know, everybody has a different opinion about the halftime show. I thought it was terrific. I thought it was a beautiful representation of pride and culture and unity. Everybody can have their own opinion about, you know, however they felt about it. One of the things, though, I wanted to point out was the local connection to the halftime show. If you watched it, you saw a section of it, in addition to Ricky Martin, in addition to Lady Gaga being part of it. Cardi B was part of it. I mean, Pedro Pascal, Jessica Alba was part of it all. But also part of it was a section with several, I would say like about a half a dozen string players, classical violinists and string players being conducted by an orchestra leader, you know, full tuxedo, very formal looking. And as I had mentioned, Dave Schwann, who knows about all things classical, contacts me and he says, hey, that's a Chicago guy. Giancarlo Guerrero, who is the artistic director of the Grant Park Music Festival and the principal conductor. If you've ever been lucky enough to hear the Grant Park Symphony play, it's stunningly beautiful. You get a nice night out in Grant Park at the Pritzker Pavilion, and you sit out on the lawn on a blanket and enjoy this beautiful music. It's, you know, just there's nothing better in Chicago summertime. But that's what that's who Bad Bunny chose to be part of his halftime show. So we made some calls. We got hooked up with Giancarlo Guerrero on our WGN TV morning news this week and had a lovely conversation with him.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Very nice to have you with us. Congratulations on being part of this historic broadcast. What's the feedback been like for you so far?
It has been actually remarkable that in such a short period of time, I made my appearance conducting, and all of a sudden, you know, I've become a very recognizable face. And it's been absolutely exciting, and I was so honored to be a part of that wonderful project.
So how did you get hooked up with Bad Bunny? How did you even get involved in all of this?
So the Saturday before the Super Bowl, a week before, I got a call from my manager that he got a call from Bad Bunny's manager that there was this small string orchestra section in the Super Bowl, and that he wanted not only real string orchestra, but he also wanted a real conductor. And he knew about me. Apparently, he had heard about me, about my career and about the Grammy wins and what have you. And he wanted a Latino conductor. So I was invited to take part of it. And given that both my daughters are huge Bad Bunny fans, I could not say no. Otherwise, they would have never forgiven me.
And were you familiar with his music also?
Of course. Whenever I'm in the car, guess who controls the radio?
Of course. So what was the preparation like for all of this? Obviously, it was kept way under wraps, you know, very secretive. But just the planning, the logistics of getting on the field and getting all set up for this must have been amazing.
That was absolutely incredible, because there were absolutely about 800 performers altogether, plus all of the staff. And I got to tell you, the first thing you do when you arrive at the stadium for the first rehearsal on Tuesday, they put covers over your phone and your lenses to make sure there are no photos. And the fact that they're able to keep this so secret with more than 1,000 people around, it's actually quite miraculous. But in the end, it was so inspiring to be surrounded by so many people at the top level of professionalism and generosity, everybody coming together for one purpose, which is to put a great show together. That was really, for me, the best part of the whole experience. But yes, there was a lot of standing around and moving around, being in the right place, almost like being in marching band, and hopefully not running into anybody else. But it was absolutely exciting, and everybody was in such high spirits that it was absolutely incredible fun.
Yeah. Yesterday we talked, you know, so much about the show and what a symbol of pride it was. What a statement on Latin pride and culture. You must have been very proud also of the statement that the show made.
Absolutely. But it goes just beyond just the Latin culture. As I said, everybody that was a part of this is from every imaginable background. And getting a chance to spend time with every single one of them and hearing where they what their thoughts are, and whether they were dancers or they were musicians or whether they were, you know, security people or staff people, everybody was there with such a degree of pride of taking part of such a big project. And in the end, our main thought was, you know, let's put on the best show possible. And it starts at the top. I have to commend Benito Bad Bunny himself, because it comes from the top. The level of inspiration that he gave the rest of us to do our best was truly amazing. And as I said, every single moment that we were on the field was something that I will never forget.
Yeah, well, I have to say to you, I've enjoyed the Grant Park Symphony many times. Looking forward to shows this summer. When is your first show going to be this summer?
So we open in mid-June, and I cannot wait to be back in Chicago in the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park with the fabulous Grant Park Festival Orchestra and the chorus, and one of the most amazing settings for a summer festival in the world.
Yeah, it really is. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you so much, and congratulations on being part of this amazing project.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, wonderful Chicago connection to the Super Bowl halftime show. Giancarlo Guerrero from the Grant Park Music Festival. That is going to be it for us today. We are standing by for Illinois-Indiana basketball. And then we'll see you tomorrow morning on Bob Surratt Show, as always, between 8 and 8:30 every weekday morning. The WGN-TV Morning News, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, talking with Oscar-nominated actor Jacob Elordi. I hope you can join us, too. Have a wonderful Sunday.